Good Sunday morning and welcome to Casey Close Up. From the show with Jen and Truda, I'm Brian Truda.
Good morning, I'm Jen Johnson.
Today, another great show for you over the next half hour. We're going to be talking about some events coming up in Kansas City that include the Head for the Cure 5K coming up on August 28th to benefit brain cancer research. And again, another inspiring story of a survivor and their family and their personal experience with Head for the Cure.
And also something that not a lot of people know about, spinal muscular atrophy. I have kind of personal experience with this, as I have a cousin who deals with SMA. And so Cure SMA has their big walk and roll coming up on Saturday morning, the 27th. It's over in Roland Park at Bishop Miege High School. And so we're going to talk with Chris Johnson, who happens to be my uncle. And we're going to find out a little bit more about SMA and the walk and run coming up.
And we're going to end our half hour today on Casey Close Up, talking with our friend Tori from Casey Pet Project. They've got a great event happening this weekend, an adoption event. And also we're going to catch up with the story of Max, the puppy who was unfortunately thrown from a balcony and is facing numerous medical bills right now, and the ways that you can help and give to Casey Pet Project to help offset some of those costs. So without further ado, we get into it today. Casey Close Up. Head for the Cure is coming up August 28th at Corporate Woods in Overland Park. This morning, we are joined on Casey Close Up by Harry Campbell, who's the CEO of Dury Vision here in Kansas City. Jen has experience with their organization. He also wrote a book called Get Real Leadership that's available right now on Amazon, and Get Real Culture that is available as of May of this year. Let's welcome to the show Harry Campbell. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us, because your story with Head for the Cure, your experience with Head for the Cure, is really a personal one for your family.
It sure is. It's almost hard to believe once you start talking about it. My friend, dear friend Matt Anthony, lost his brother to a brain tumor in 2003, and our family, my wife and I, Chris, were avid supporters of the cause and trying to help the memory of Chris Anthony. And then 6 months after the first Head for the Cure Kansas City event and race, my wife was diagnosed with an inoperable malignant brain tumor. So now we still support the Anthonys, but this has become more and more personal for us as we battle this disease also.
It is amazing. A lot of people's, and that your story actually mirrors that experience of a lot of people, in that they come close to the organization, they may not have a personal tie to it, and yet when cancer strikes their family, the cause becomes even more clear to them.
You know what? That's exactly right. I like the way you worded that. And what's happened is, the good news is my wife is still with us. She's a survivor. She's a fighter. And she's decided, and we've decided, that we're going to do everything we can to raise money to help for research, to try to find a cure to help the hundreds of thousands of people that have brain tumors, including my wife.
Absolutely. So in 2012, then, you wrote a book and decided at that time that you were going to give proceeds from not only your book, but from speaking engagements and other events around Kansas City to raise money for Head for the Cure. And tell us what that has done now over the past few years.
You know, it's been very cool. I'm a storyteller. I'm a bit of a ham. And I've had jobs with huge groups of people in me in my organization, up to 4,000. And so I really love speaking. And I wrote the book Get Real Leadership, self-published it, and started speaking, and decided to give my gross speaking fees to Head for the Cure and 100% of the proceeds from the book. So that's been 4.5 years for Get Real Leadership, about 100 speeches. And then I decided I was getting a little bit tired being a one-trick pony, came out with a second book, Get Real Culture, as you mentioned, in May. I've now done close to 110 total speeches between the two books, and sold almost 5,000 copies of the first one, a few hundred of the second one, and Get Real Culture and Leadership combined, speaking and books, have raised well over $200,000 for Head for the Cure. So I'm doing this because I love to do it, but more importantly, because it matters to me and my wife and my family personally.
Right. Absolutely. Well, congratulations on that. That's fantastic. And I do get the feeling that you have more stories to tell, that there are more than just one or two books in you. So this could go on for quite some time.
I think I've got a trilogy. I need to have Get Real Culture get some momentum for a couple of years, and maybe I'll do a third one. So you're probably right.
There you go.
Stay tuned on that, okay, Brian?
Hey, absolutely. No, we'll have you back on for that, too. No worries. Team Chris Campbell, tell us about that. Are you guys also going to put together the team for this year's Head for the Cure?
We are. One of the things we decided to do was to get not only actively involved from a fundraising standpoint for Head for the Cure, but make that weekend, which is almost always the last Sunday in August, a celebration and family reunion. We formed a team. We have shirts for just our team that are very personal and special to us. We tend to have about 150 to 200 people a year on our team. And they're all actively involved with Chris Campbell donating, Team Chris Campbell and or running for. And it is a blast. So we show up in force at Corporate Woods at 8 a.m. on this year, it'll be August 28th. And then after it's over and the awards are done, we actually invite everybody who's a member of Team Chris Campbell to come to our house for a brunch, which is further celebration and memory-making and story-swapping. So this has become, I would argue, the perhaps the most important weekend of the year for us as a family, mm-hmm. friends, and the people we love to get together to celebrate the fact that my wife's still a survivor.
Absolutely. When I talked to you, we had Matt Anthony on the show last week, and I've known Matt for a long time, and he comes on and he talked about, Head for the Cure and really the community that has formed around this race in this organization. And when you're in the community, if you could speak to the people that you have come to know through Head for the Cure and how they have become really your extended family to a degree.
You know what? That's a great point. And I've heard Matt say that before, and it gives me goosebumps when I hear it.
Yeah,
it's absolutely true. I've run into people that are have lost loved ones and become close with them, and they do things to try to raise money. I've run into and an active member of the board of Head for the Cure, as is my wife, and I've gotten to know people like John Holt and Danae Fast, and people that I probably wouldn't have had a chance to meet and or become friends with, and it's extraordinary. And so what's happened is the meetings and the fundraisers and the events every year roll forward, and this connection we have with these people just gets deeper and deeper, and I love it. I mean, Team Chris Campbell couldn't be successful without the work those folks have done. And by the way, I'd be remiss to say, Brian, if I didn't say that Team Chris Campbell, separate from Get Real Leadership and Get Real Culture, has raised over almost $350,000. So
yes.
The two pieces of our family are well north of $500,000, and we take great pride in that. But by the way, Brian, we're not stopping.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And that's also a great point, too, that Matt brought up. It on one hand, we say it is unfortunate that we have to run this race every year because that means that the brain cancers have not been cured, that there hasn't been a cure that's found. On the other hand, it is heartening to see that the money, the dollar amounts, they go up every year as more and more people get involved and find out what this organization's all about. And that is the good part because that leads to the breakthroughs that could lead someday to the cure.
Amen. Yeah, I could not have said that better. Matt talks about that. You've talked about it. And our goal is to raise money so those things can happen.
If you could tell us again where the books are able to be found and how could somebody get in touch with, your organization if they're wanting to get a hold of Team Chris Campbell and excited about the event on the 28th.
I'd love that. I'm going to start a little more broadly and say headforthecure.org, the website. You can go and find the Kansas City race. We would love people to give their time or to register for the race or donate money or provide goods and services. Anything we can do to help fight this dreaded disease would be fantastic. Headforthecure.org. From a personal standpoint, the two books I have, Get Real Leadership, Get Real Culture, are both on Amazon and they're in Kindle format. If you buy those, 100% of the proceeds go to Head for the Cure, which is awesome. If you want to hire me to speak, I am a little bit of a kook, but I'm a storyteller. And I can capture an audience and be memorable with regard to leadership and culture in ways that I absolutely love because of the experiences I've had and the leaders I've been mentored by. So my website is harryscampbell.com, and 100% of my gross speaking fees go to charity for that, and I love it.
That's great. That is great. Harry Campbell joining us here on KC Close-Up today. Harry, our best to you, to Team Chris Campbell, and of course, to Chris as well, and to your family.
Thank you very much. Blessings.
Coming up this Saturday, the 27th, is the Cure SMA Walk and Roll, which is in Roland Park, right by Miege High School. And I brought in my uncle, full disclosure, he's my uncle, Chris Johnson, but he's the one who got me involved in participating in the Cure SMA Walk and Roll. And so he's going to tell us a little bit about the event and why he's involved in this. So first of all, welcome, Chris. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, did you know anything about spinal muscular atrophy before, say, 6 years ago?
I did not. I found out about it when a doctor sat us down and explained why our daughter was not walking.
Yeah, so that was the first time that you kind of had a clue, like, there's some complications here, something's not right.
Well, we had a clue that something was not right, which was why we went in and had the medical people look at us. Mm-hmm. But we're talking at about a year and a half old at that time. So there had been a lot of time that had we known, we might have done things differently.
Right. And so explain then, what is spinal muscular atrophy?
Spinal muscular atrophy, it is a genetic condition that causes the motor neurons in the spine not to work. They die. Hmm. And because they're not functioning, they don't send any messages down that spine to all the muscles in the body. And so the muscles sit around doing nothing, and they start atrophying, and eventually they lose all their capacity to do anything. And it's a thing that goes on and gets worse and worse, deteriorates through the lifetime of the person who's got it.
And so the progression that you've seen, your daughter, so it started for you, hey, she's not starting to walk like the other kids are that are her age. And now she's 6 years old.
Well, in a few weeks.
Almost. Six. Okay. So now how has that progressed for her?
In Irena's case, she was trying to walk because all little kids want to walk. And she was trying really, really hard. And she could walk with somebody helping her.
Mm-hmm.
And she could not walk on her own. As soon as she tried to take a step or so on her own, she'd go down. And it was getting harder and harder for her at that time. In a walker or with somebody helping her, she used to be able to go a good distance. A couple of years ago, she did an MDA hop-a-thon, only in her case, since she couldn't hop, she did a walk-a-thon. She tried to see how many feet she could go in 1 minute in her walker.
Nice.
And she made 75 feet her first year. Second year, she did about 40 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And in her walker now, in that same amount of time, she'd probably do about 20, 25 feet. So that's a very obvious marker. She's losing that right. in just the case of about 3 years.
And so she gets around now with the assistance of a walker and a wheelchair.
She doesn't use the walker anymore except for exercise. That's pretty much it. That's playtime and exercise time. She's got a power wheelchair with which she terrorizes the neighborhood now.
She's awesome in that thing. I've seen her whipping around in it.
And she's just one of many. Shortly after our diagnosis, we went to there's an annual event that an organization called Cure SMA has. And they are constantly inviting people who just found out about it to come to these conventions. And you got to watch out in those halls. There will be dozens. They've got everything except the black leather jackets.
Yeah. Right.
And they can really maneuver those things.
And now along the way, you found Cure SMA. And how has that organization helped you guys?
They were wonderful. Their annual convention was less than a month after we found out our daughter's condition. And so we went to this national convention that was several days long, and they had lots of workshops for the families and lots of really cool things for the kids. These conventions, they're usually held in places like Anaheim,
like Disney,
and Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
And Kansas City had it actually a few years ago, and everybody actually enjoyed the town for the time they weren't doing the things.
Great.
But they really help people find out what's going on. The first thing they say to you when you come in at one of the first meetings is, well, welcome. You are now a member of a club that nobody ever wanted to join.
Yeah.
And then they right. proceed to tell you what's going on, what it is, things you can do. It's also an umbrella organization that serves for fundraising and research and development. Fortunately, there are lots of really intelligent and gifted people who've worked as grown-ups for their kids and other kids to find ways to improve the chances. Currently, there is no treatment for this thing. There's not much you can do. But they're working on that. As a matter of fact, our daughter is in a research study of a drug and treatment that involves spinal injections to try and get the motor neurons to work and work better, the ones that are still there.
Right.
And it is not a cure, but it is something that could make it not be as bad.
Right. Because, again, it's killed off.
Right. Right.
And some of those from the start, right.
In our case, our daughter cannot walk by herself. She will never walk by herself.
Yeah.
As time goes on, she will do less by herself. Well, if we could keep her at the level she's at now, she'd still have a very, very nice quality of life. So that's a big way to go. And that study is far along and really, really showing positive results. And they're about to go for FDA approval, which means another year or two or three. It's hard to say how long because drug research takes so long. And particularly in the case of things like SMA, which is a rare thing. It's 1 in 10,000 kids, they figure, have this disease. Mm. And they call those orphan diseases because there's not enough people who have them for the drug industry to get real excited about the idea of developing drugs and treatments. It's not financially as lucrative for them as something everybody gets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Cure SMA has worked hard raising funds over the years to help pay for research and development and equipment, all of those kinds of things, to try and improve the odds. They've done a lot to help develop legislation nationally to make it easier for companies to try and get FDA approval, because that's one of the things that costs drug companies so much, is just clearing things with the FDA is a phenomenal hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are things specifically, I don't remember the official name, but it's basically the orphan drug bills that have been taken to Congress to try and improve that situation. So this group, Cure SMA, raises funds for the research, raises funds for trying to improve the legal situation with that, and also just plain out helping families with some of the phenomenal expenses. The kids who have this in a rough way aren't just having to get wheelchairs or even power wheelchairs. There are kids who are going to be on breathing apparatus for all their lives, or regularly have to have lungs and such vacuumed because their muscles won't do it.
Well, and I know a lot of parents or people just assume like, oh, well, insurance will take care of the wheelchair if they need it. Insurance covers that stuff. And in a lot of cases, that does not happen.
It doesn't happen. And there are lots of interesting and strange things that happen along the way. It's been a real eye-opener for me in the last few years finding some of those things out. Fortunately, our insurers have done pretty well. But important things happen. Insurance companies will buy you a wheelchair.
Okay.
A wheelchair.
Right.
If you have a wheelchair and you decide, well, there might be another wheelchair that would be better. For example, a power wheelchair is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You aren't carrying that up the stairs.
Right.
But if you have a manual wheelchair and you go someplace where you need to go to the second floor, you can carry that chair up the stairs, mm-hmm. then carry the kid up, and you're fine. You don't do that with a power wheelchair.
Yeah.
But if you already, if your insurance bought you a power wheelchair, they probably won't buy you a manual wheelchair because you've already got one.
Sure, right. Why would you want two?
Right. And that's a specific example that I can think of.
Yeah.
And other things, even if insurance money covers the majority of expenses, 15 to 20% of $10,000 is still a chunk of money.
Well, one of the ways that Cure SMA is raising funds is with the Walk and Roll, which is coming up Saturday, and people can get involved in that. You can come out. There's a 5K and a 1 mile as well, right?
Right. The 5K is for those serious folks who want to do things like that. And the 1 mile is also, that one's a really interesting parade because that's going to have a bunch of folks in chairs.
Yeah.
Because that's where the kids with the SMA tend to go. They tend to do the 1 mile, and their families and friends go out. And it's been going on. This is the 16th year. So everybody in the neighborhood knows what happens this one weekend, and so there's a lot of friendly folks out there waving at you as you walk by. And
it's been neat to see it grow, because I've been involved with you in this walk for, I think, three or four years I've done it, and I've seen it grow each year. It's like, oh, it started out, seemed smaller, and now last year it was a big deal, and there's food samples out there, and TV comes out and covers it, and it's gotten to be a really big deal, and it's a nice fundraiser.
And it's even easier this year because normally it's been held in October.
Yeah.
And
it was freezing last year.
It is cold. It is cold. But this year, since it's going to be the end of August, it's actually going to be warm outside.
Perfect. So people can either participate, walk, or run. Or if you just want to donate, you could do that as well online. It's very simple.
That's right. And you'd go through the curesma.org website for that.
Perfect. All right. If you would like to participate, we've got a team. We should just get them to donate to our team. The Dancing Hippo Brigade the name
of
our team.
That's good. That's pretty good.
The Dancing Hippo Brigade, which comes from one of my daughter's favorite movies. and I think it's kind of appropriate. And we actually ran in tutus one year.
Yeah.
Nice.
And for the guys on the team, we actually had camouflage tutus.
Perfect.
So it was all right. You could still be manly.
CureSMA.org, and you can look up the Walk and Roll, which is going to be Saturday. It's in Roland Park. It's right around Miege High School. It starts like in the Miege parking lot in front of the school, and then we kind of go around Roland Park, and it's a nice 5K route. It's not like...
That's great.
I had done one a couple weeks ago that I tell you the entire thing was uphill. It was not easy. This one is a nice course. Seems very flat and easy to do, and it really is a nice event. So join us, whether you can just donate to our team or any team, it doesn't matter, or if you want to come out and participate, that would be great. Thank you for joining us, Chris.
It was my pleasure.
I was scrolling through looking at news stories, and I saw a headline talking about a puppy being thrown off a balcony. And honestly, I thought it was an old story because I remembered a dog called Roadrunner that had been thrown off a balcony. But
yes.
I started reading this. I'm like, no, this is another one. This is a new story in Kansas City. And so we thought we'd get Tori from KC Pet Project on the phone to tell us what happened with Max the puppy.
Good morning, Tori. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, doing well. We just hate to see these stories come up. I mean, what are people thinking? This is awful.
I know. It is awful. And since the news stories hit last night, we've heard a little bit more details about what actually happened to Max, which makes it even more awful now. When he came to us last week, we knew that he was thrown off of a balcony and that he had sustained injuries as a result of that. But we didn't know the full story, that he was basically just being a puppy and barking and, you know, maybe chewing on some things and not getting, you know, a lot of love and attention, and that's why somebody decided to throw him off a balcony. It makes it so much worse whenever you hear the full story now.
And was it someone that was staying with the owner or the neighbor? Who was it that did this?
I'm not sure of the relationship. It wasn't the owner that threw him. We've talked with the owner, and we know that it wasn't her. But I know a neighbor did mention that somebody that was there that threw him off of a second-story balcony. And he, as a result of that, has a fractured leg that is splinted right now and causing him quite a bit of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Though you would hardly know it, he does yelp out in pain sometimes, but otherwise he's just busy being a puppy and, you know, licking your face and snuggling all over you. He had a couple of front teeth knocked out, and his mouth was really bloody whenever he came in due to that. And then he had bruising on his lungs, which made it really difficult for him to breathe. We were really watching him for internal injuries, making sure that everything, you know, was checking out okay. So that's why he's under the careful watch of our vet staff right now, but we're getting ready to move him into a foster home so he can start the rest and relaxation process to heal.
And he is going to require surgery, and that's going to cost, what, about $2,500?
That's what our estimate is. We're talking to a couple of orthopedic surgeons, just basically making sure, because he does have some growing to do. So we want to make sure that we do this right and that he gets, you know, whatever surgery that he needs in order to make sure that he doesn't live a life of pain due to that injury. But we're gonna keep talking to some people and figure out what the best course of action is for Max, but he's going to go into a foster home and start the healing process. But yeah, donations are very, very much needed right now in order to pay for that surgery.
And where would people do that? What's the website?
Yeah, they can actually go to, it's just donate.kcpetproject.org/helpforMax. The link is on our Facebook page. We'll probably post it again this morning just so people can see it. But those donations go right towards Max. And then, you know, every day we're getting other ill and injured pets in to our shelter that need help just like Max. So that's why we set up our Roadrunner Medical Fund. You mentioned Roadrunner. In honor of him, to help all the puppies like Max who need our help as well.
I was going to say, you know, people see a story like this. They're like, oh, the Pet Project helps. Well, they help on so many different animals that come through.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just Max. There are other cases that come through. And I think it's worth mentioning as well. I have it set up on my Amazon account, the Smile from Amazon, that if you shop through Smile on Amazon first, then you can send a portion of proceeds to the KC Pet Project. That is one of the places you can choose.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
Tori, you guys benefit every time I go on an Amazon shopping spree.
Yes, that's wonderful. I love that. Yeah, we're set up with Amazon Smile. We have an Amazon wish list. I am an Amazon Prime member, and it's just like, you know, the easiest thing just to order supplies for our pets and send them our way. So, and we've had a wonderful outreach from the community. People are, you know, sending us lots of love for Max. We even had a little boy that rode his bicycle all the way to the shelter yesterday to give $6 out of his pocket.
Aww.
To help Max. It was just the most darling thing ever, and we really appreciate the community helping Max.
I love that.
That's good stories. All right, well, good will come of this. That is the nice part here, that it will have a happy ending. So that's what we can take solace in, that fact.
Absolutely. We're going to do our best to get Max all healed up and shower him with love that he deserves, and eventually he's going to be looking for a new loving family to go home to.
And of course, you know, like my Sandy came from Pet Project. That's why we're such big supporters of you guys. What if people want to come out, just look at dogs, cats, things you have up for adoption? You're all set and ready to roll, right?
Absolutely. And we're going to be doing a big adoption event this weekend because we are really, really full right now. We have wonderful dogs and cats looking for homes. So we're going to be doing our teacher's pet back to school adoption event this weekend. So please come out and see us. We have actually 8 locations now that you can adopt pets in the metro area. So that's all on our website at kcpetproject.org.
Wow. Very nice.
Cool.
Tori from KC Pet Project, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
And there we go. That wraps up another edition of KC Close Up and some of the great organizations we talked to today. Jen, we're going to put all this on our Facebook page.
KC1021.com if you need information about the Cure SMA Walk and Roll, which is coming up on the 27th.
And don't forget, too, that if you missed any part of this on the air, if you're catching this on our radio broadcast, this also gets sent back out as a podcast, too, right directly to Facebook. And it gets wrapped up into a podcast directly to iTunes as well. If you search for The Show with Jen and Truda, you can download directly to your phone. For Jen, I'm Truda. It's another edition of KC Close Up. You can also hit us up on our business line through the week if you have any questions, 816-753-4000. Or if you have an event for a future show, you can always email it to Truda, T-R-U-T-A, at KC1021.com.